Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome to the Leighton Orient Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by the E10Mess podcast. I didn't say this last week, but I love the podcast name. E10Mess is absolutely brilliant. I've been joined by Rob Edwards, Julian Ferns, and Adam Sampson. Boys, good to have you in the studio, and good to have you in the studio because life in the Football League couldn't seem better. 1-0 to Cheltenham Town. I didn't predict a win, as Julian pointed out. I predicted a draw, but I still predicted points. But you got the result, 1-0, a Josh Wright goal. The day must have been incredible. The atmosphere, we spoke about it just in Edinburgh, but you're back in the Football League. Played 1-1-1, 3 points in the bag. Everything can't seem any better, can it, right now?
We are going up, see? We are going up.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. It's only after week one. We're going back up, are we, Adam? We're going back up.
We're going back up, yeah. Like we talked about last week, emotional day, but the end of it, 3 points on the board. Difficult first 15 minutes, as you'd expect. A bit of emotion going around, but we looked solid. I was pretty impressed. I was actually more impressed than I thought I'd be. We looked good. We controlled the game, effectively, I think. Decent start, 3 points. You can't ask for more. Going up.
Big turnout as well. I think it's biggest first day game turnout, 6,000 odd fans there for O's. That's big for us. I just think that the emotion as well, I think we talked about last week about that could be the bit that drives the players sort of back into their shell, but they definitely were playing for Justin, and we can't ask more on that. So it was great atmosphere. Really good.
Yeah, I think it's difficult when you... obviously what we've been through over the summer, for the players to focus and go out and do the job. But for the first 15 minutes, I think we're a bit shaky, but then controlled the game, professional, saw it out. She probably should have been 3 or 4 in what was a bit bit of a crazy last 20 minutes. But yeah, it couldn't have gone any better. It's always difficult for the, even on a normal start to a season after you're promoted to be a bit shell shocked, but yeah.
Well, it helps when your opposing team go down to 9 men, I believe it was.
Shh, come on.
No, you got the goal beforehand, leave it. We won't say no more than that, but we did speak about how much the day was going to hang, just mentally, emotionally. It's going to be exhausting because it was the first game without Justin Edinburgh. It was the first game being back in the Football League, being back in League Two. We didn't know how the players react. We didn't know really how Cheltenham were going to react because it was a big day for all concerned, really. And, you know, we spoke about it last week. It was just important to find our footing. Let's get familiar with the league. We're going to see how we react to this game day one. And I watched Sky Sports News before the game, and they'd done a big piece on Leighton Orient, and they were showing, I'm sure you've all seen it, with Justin Edinburgh, and he kept laughing with Ross, and they just keep getting the giggles, and they can't finish this interview. Yeah. And then they played a bit after, and I've got to admit, just even from talking to you three last week, it might sound ridiculous, but I felt a little bit myself getting a lump in my throat, because I just thought, I don't really know how, like, the day, just what it means to the fans. I'm not even an Orient fan. I just thought, this is such a monumental day. I just don't know how the fans are going to ride with this emotion. Obviously, it turned out great, but I think regardless of what the result was, it was just about the day, really, wasn't it, for Justin and his family?
I think Ross pointed out, the manager, is that I think he said a few times he had to sort of found himself in the huddle with the players. And he said, I want to keep off the pitch. You know, that's what Joby's there to do, and lead the players before the kickoff. But he said, I kept finding myself in the middle of a huddle, you know, and reassuring, being that sort of that guy who just brings it all together. And I think the other thing for me is sort of the chants around the ground. You know, we were singing the old Championes one. That, for me, got me. It was just remembering back, you know, those number of weeks before, and you've gone, God, that's like, this is, you can see everything in front of you. You can see Justin walking around the pitch. You can see everyone running on the pitch. All those things that we all celebrated a few weeks prior, it just come flooding back. And I said to you before, big boy cry, you know, and that showed me with tears. It was a real emotional, but a great celebration, and a great thing to kick off with.
I think the thing that struck me as well, and it was obviously very sad, but it did feel, like you said, more of a celebration of what he's done. And I think it's maybe from an outside point of view, easy to forget that he didn't just get us up. We were on the verge of going bust a couple of years ago, and a lot of us, including me, thought we were going to linger in non-league for years and years and years. I think it did hit home, looking down at that dugout and that minute silence and thinking, he was there the last game I was here, and he's not there now. And I think when the minute silence ended, you saw Ross and a few of the players wiping tears away from their eyes, and I think it showed probably for the first 10-15 minutes we were definitely shaky, and that's to be expected, but the crowd stuck with them throughout, and obviously we got over that, and like we said before, controlled the game. But it was very, very strange for a first game of the season when usually everyone's up and it's all positive.
How special was that atmosphere then, and how much did Cheltenham play their part in creating what a special day it really was?
I mean, Justin was just obviously looking as a fan, you see the impact he's had on the team on the pitch, but you didn't realise what just a massive impact he was throughout the entire club and how close he was to the players. You see bits of it as the season goes on, and you see how together everybody was, but you just don't imagine what an impact someone would have, in especially such a short period of time, and taking a team on their backside, looking down to then champions the following season. It's just a massive impact he's had.
But I think you talked about Cheltenham, hats off, doff that cap. They were amazing, absolutely amazing.
And I think they really played their part in that.
Very much so. They're so humble as well. The two guys who was sort of set all this up and raising the money to get the flag and then to the money to Justin's foundation. You can see them just didn't want to be walking around the pitch to give the cheque to Justin's son, but they got clapped. They probably got enough beer in the supporters club to dine out on for the rest of their life any time they're ever in Leighton. They were just it was amazing.
I think also a big shout out to Justin's family as well. Obviously, his son Charlie was on the pitch at half time. I looked up at the balcony at the end, and I think all his family were up there. And can't even imagine how hard that must.
It's not easy for him. Yeah,
yeah. Flags with his face on. Obviously, your dad and husband, etc. And for them just to come out, I think shows how much they mean to the club and the club means to them.
Well, it was a very special day, very special moment for the family indeed. Let's talk a little bit about the game itself then. How did the game play out? We know you Josh Wright scored, the last of Justin Edinburgh's signing, sort of almost written there, wasn't it? It had to be when I saw it flash up. I was keeping my eye on the game for you guys, hoping for a win. You managed to pull that one off, victory in the bag. But how was it? And was it a bit of a last shaky 15 minutes when Cheltenham were really pushing for that 1-1?
Obviously, history dictates we don't play very well against 10 men.
Or nine men.
Yeah. There were times when it was evident it was a little bit shaky. It would have been nice to have got that second goal early on. I think Coulson, the goalie's made an outrageous save and tipped it onto the post or the crossbar. Alabi's come on and made a nuisance of himself, which is generally what he does. He's put one across goal. I think the second goal would have calmed us down and probably could have gone on and got another one or two, but I don't think it was really any massive danger of losing. Even with 11 men, we seemed pretty confident and pretty in control.
I think we were in control. I think there was a few comments made afterwards that we were taking the ball into the corner 5 minutes ago when they had 9 men.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. I mean, we won the game. Worst thing you can do there, start attacking, throwing players forward, trying to get that second and conceding. But again, like you said earlier, it was all about the 3 points. We touched on it earlier. I think the emotion got to the players. First 15 minutes, we looked out of it. Penalty shout for Cheltenham, almost certainly a penalty for me. I was shaking my head. Yeah. Dean Brill come flying out, then stop. Then
it's easy to be
out.
Honest when you've actually won the game 1-0. Maybe if I would have asked on Saturday, you might have said something different.
I'd just love to point out now that the refs in League 2 are unbelievably good compared to the National League, but it was a certain penalty for me. Dean Brill, I thought red card was coming out potentially. He got a knock to the head, allegedly, and went off with concussion a few minutes later, which is a big blow in terms of that he played every minute of the game of every game last year. And Sam Sargent, the youngster, come in and did well. But actually, I think that breaking play settled the players down, regrouped, got on with it, and we controlled it from there on out for me.
I think Dino looked a little bit shaky from the start, being a more mature player. So he's probably a little bit closer to Justin than some of the younger lads. And you can sort of see that even from the start of the game, the warm-up, just the intensity that he probably had on himself. He wants to have a good game, he's a goalkeeper, et cetera, et cetera. I think going off, Sam, yes, has worked under Justin for nearly sort of 18 odd months, but reality is Sam's sort of young lad coming on there and did a really good job. But for me, I think sort of going back to the game, I can't sit here and go, like a lot of games we go to, go, do you remember in the 15th minute we did this, to the 40th? The game went past. You know, the only thing I sort of am going to put my hands up, and Sam, if you are listening, I apologise for sort of slating you last week. He had an absolute world of a game, and if he's going to play for, like that for the rest of the season, he's going to be my man of the season. He's phenomenal.
Well, this is what we spoke about last week, didn't we? We didn't know how big the gulf was from League Two to non-league football. We said, how big of a jump is it? You know, we spoke about it last week. Can Leyton Orient not just come and survive and test the waters, but really push on? I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. It is only game one. We did get the 3 points. And Cheltenham maybe aren't the best prototype for this idea. But now, if we... Let's keep our feet on the ground. Can we sort of say... well, you know, we got a victory here. If we sort of move, we get through August, September, if this is the level that maybe League Two's offering, we can pose a threat, maybe. Adam was saying back-to-back promotions, maybe not that, but maybe we can do it. We've seen it with Lincoln. It can happen. Can we see a bright season for Orient ahead?
I think definitely. I mean, no disrespect for Cheltenham, but if we want to compete in that division, they're teams that we should be beating. And it was obviously nice to be able to do that, and that sets the season up to, obviously, off to a good start straight away, but also sets us up that we know we can beat those teams at that level. It's easy to say, you can look at Lincoln and Tranmere, it's easy to say this.
Because it does happen, doesn't it?
It does happen, but then look at Macclesfield last season. They came straight up from National League and really looked like they were going to go down for 45 games and then pulled it out of the bag on the last game and stayed up. So I don't think you can really kind of give it, sort of polish it with the same brush, that just because you've done well in the National League that you're going to do well in League Two. I think it's going to be tough still.
But you look at that starting 11, and 9 out of the 11, I just looked there quickly, has played League Two football. So It shouldn't have been that much of a shock for them to start on Saturday. So I'm comfortable. I said this last week, and I'll back this all the way through the season, is that I think we've got enough class in the first 11. I think strength in depth, we're looking good. We've brought in some really good players, you know, Louis Dennis and Angel and Wilkinson, the three guys I sort of really rate that's come into the club over the close season. I think we're going to be strong, you know. But you say first the point. The ball says we got one win, yeah, one goal, and so it's one game. But let's have this conversation.
Take each game as it comes. But you just mentioned it, and you did touch up on it. You are signing players. It's key to signing players. We just heard Louis Dennis from Pompey, but it's also key to extend players. You know, Coulson signed on, Eastang. This is the key names, and it sort of seems like you're back in League Two, you're signing players. Players want to come here, don't they? From Portsmouth, you know, they're in the league above, but players want to play at Orient.
I think we're a big draw. I think our crowds are getting bigger, as we've talked about earlier. The area's changing, I think. That's only going to increase, and I think you're right in terms of people see this as a club on the up. Obviously, the events over the summer has waylaid that positivity a little bit, but I think the club's in the right direction. I think everyone knows that really we belong at least in League One, and I think, like you say, London club on the up, people want to come here, and like you say, Coulson signed on, become a bit of a Orient legend already. I think Dan Happy signed a new contract, lots of rumours about even Spurs looking at him in the summer, so that's another positive that he wants to stay, get some first team football with us. I think there's probably more to come.
I just want to take it a little bit back, Julian. You said earlier on the game on the day, it was all a blur. People were singing, champion, he's champion. And was it a little moment there for yourself where, because of the summer you've had, you know, the tragedy, no one could have seen it coming. Was it a little moment yourselves, yeah, we did go up as champions, you know, because all that good feeling, you've not been allowed to have that this summer because of the tragic passing of Justin Edinburgh. Was it like, yeah, we have gone up as champions, actually. Yeah, we're back to winning games. This is what we do best. We've done it all last year. A little bit of that good feeling was allowed for an Orient fan this weekend.
I certainly felt that. I think, sort of thinking about my own emotions of the day, it's easy to forget that we were in League Two a couple of seasons ago, but that was under completely different circumstances. We had, I don't want to say his name, but a chairman that... was ruining the club, and it was League Two, but it didn't feel like League Two. I wasn't enjoying going to games, and I think even in the National League, I was losing a little bit of love for the game and for Orient in general. But actually, on Saturday, I looked around and was like, we're in League Two. This is already a better standard of, as we talked about, officiating and standard of football.
League Two.
The crowd was probably, the biggest home Saturday opener we've had for about 20-odd years. Everyone was singing Championes, and it was really good to be back in the league for me.
I think looking around the club, you just look around, just looking, yeah, just soaking up that atmosphere. And the atmosphere is made by people, isn't it? Yeah, so there's a good group of us. You know, it was vocal, and I think when you looked at the end of the game and you looked at the players, the relief on the players' faces that actually we've got that one done. You know, so that not legacy's put to bed, but we've sort of got ourselves to a level which we're now going to build upon going forward.
Well, I want to give you the flip side of that perspective, because you all seem very happy, all very bouncy in the studio. You did get the first win back in the Football League. Adam's loving the standard of officiating. My producer, Stevenage fan, he's just told me after a few games in League Two, the officiating will seem just as bad. And he's someone they lost to Salford first game in the Football League. He's not a happy man. So all the colour, all the life has been drained from him. Whereas you three have come in, giving it the big championes, and you're thinking you're on top of League Two. Next, we're going to be talking to Shane Tudor to see how he feels about it all.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by the E10 Mess podcast, Rob Edwards, Julian Ferns and Adam Sampson. And I'm delighted to say we've now got Shane Tudor on the line. Shane, massive result this Saturday, back in the Football League. A 1-0 victory to Cheltenham, the first game without Justin Edinburgh. How good was this win?
Yeah, it's massively important. It's always good to start a season with 3 points and to get off to a good start. But it was fitting as well, obviously, with what's happened, you know, and it was a nice way to start the season. But more importantly, you know, taking football aside, it was fitting for Justin Edinburgh.
Shane, hi, it's Julian here. As an ex-pro, and so do you sort of on a Saturday afternoon, do you sort of get your sort of your newspaper out and look at where your previous clubs, and you had a small handful, what they're doing and what they're up to, and how closely have you followed the O's over the last few years?
Yeah, I have. You know, it was probably one of the most enjoyable times I had. You know, at the time I got promoted, you know, I loved it. I loved being down in London, so I do look back with fond memories. And I have kept a close eye. And when I went to Wembley, you know, in the playoffs, I was there, you know, with a few of us. So we've travelled, you know, for the big games, and I've kept an eye out. But, you know, it was sad to see them, you know, drift back down. But hopefully now they can push on and do what Lincoln have done, you know, and get promoted again this year.
In your time at Orient, you were never far away from a tasty tackle or two. I think you attracted them for whatever reason. I've got a question from the Orient message board. Have you recovered from the Millwall fans chanting your name and a certain number of swear words after their left back got sent off after studying you?
It's after 7 o'clock now. Can you repeat what it was?
I think I might get kicked out.
it's one of those. You know, I look back and I remember playing at Millwall a few times. The atmosphere was brilliant. You know, it was ironic. I went to a wedding. There's a few Millwall fans at the wedding a couple of years ago. I could hear in the background and singing that same chant, you know, it was banter at the time. But no, it's one of them things you look back fondly at the time a little bit. I remember coming off with 15 minutes left. Martin Link done me a great favour and let me sat in the dugout 15 minutes left while all the fans were abusing me. So I thanked him for that one. But no, I think it was 20 seconds when the lad got sent off. So smashed me in half. But no, it was a good result for us overall. Bomb in a way.
Hi Shane, I think we've got to talk about Oxford, probably the best day of my Orient supporting life. Can you just sort of describe that day at Oxford as a player, obviously when we got promoted up into League One, and by how far is it the best day of your career/life?
Well, I look back on it with, I just had a hernia operation, so I needed an ankle operation, shouldn't have been out there, but it was one of those where it was probably the closest knit team I've ever played in my career. Massively. So you get yourself out there. It's a day that nobody wanted to miss. Although I wanted Steely to miss it so I could just tap in and take all the credit myself at the back stick. Now, taking that aside, I remember, like you say, there's no better way to get promoted than to do it how we did and, you know, back on it. And it's moments in your life that you can't really explain, you know. It was brilliant. And memories and the pictures and the thoughts in your mind, which are there with you for the rest of your life.
You mentioned ankle injury there. We've one of our wingers at the moment, obviously right winger, same position as you, out with a pretty bad one, just recovering from another injury, James Dayton. As a winger in that position, how difficult is it going to be for him, and how did you find it coming back from them sort of serious injuries and getting back up to full speed, if you like?
With ankle injuries, you know, you look at Harry Kane, one or two others, you generally can be back with 2 or 3 weeks, you can be back running, and, you know, it's just building strength back up there. The more serious ones are generally, you know, muscle injuries. You tear your hamstring as a winger, so generally, at times, you've got a little bit of pace, and you can, if you tear it quite badly, those are the ones that really set you back a period of time, when you come back a little bit apprehensive in terms of letting yourself go and sprinting. Generally, with ankle injuries and impact injuries, mentally, you can come back and you can physically cope. You try and protect it a little bit, but it's generally the muscle injuries which cause you more of a mental block, you know, getting back out on the pitch.
Obviously, carrying on from injuries, obviously you retired like 26 with a serious injury. I mean, when you get later in your career, kind of in your early to mid-30s, you kind of know the end is coming soon and you start making plans for what happens after football. How difficult was that for you, as obviously retiring sort of in your prime, if you like, kind of 8 to 10 years still left in your career on a good run? How difficult was it to adjust and sort of make decisions on what happens next?
I guess I had a 12 to 18 month transition, knowing that, you know, my knee, you know, I'd seen one of the best specialists in the world down in London. He'd operated a couple of times, so it was getting to that, you know, mentally prepare yourself over a period of time that this may happen. I think that almost sets you up then, rather than one day you're training and you're playing to the next day suddenly you retire. So I almost had that transition from being a player to not being a player, you know, so I think that helped me massively. I look back on it, you know, when injuries cost me, I think at a younger age, 19, 20, I had some great moves set up and tore my hamstring really, really bad, you know, and it set me back for 12 months. And never really recovered speed-wise and the player that I was originally. But, you know, you get back out there, you do your best. And like I say, I went on to Leighton Orient and had a fantastic couple of years. And, you know, it's one of the happiest times of my life being down there. So I look back with fond memories. But, you know, I retired and I was fortunate to go into something else and to be quite successful and to, you know, set up a new career, really. So, you know, I take the positives rather than, you know, looking back, feeling sorry for yourself again.
Shane, we know that Orient picked up the victory this weekend against Cheltenham. We've been talking a little bit about the golfing class from non-league football to League Two. We're not going to get carried away with ourselves, but how far can Leighton Orient kick on this season? And what's their realistic aims and expectations?
Well, they need to be top six. You know, people talk about that there is no difference, you know. The big teams in the conference as such, the National League, that they are as good as, if not better than, you could take six out of the National League and put them into, you know, League Two, and they easily cope. It's just, you know, where positions are. But you look at Lincoln, you look at, you know, past form, the teams that come up and win that league or get promoted generally do very well. Like, no one will be the same. I have no doubt this year they'll go on. You know, they'll be top six. You know, but I look back when my pre-season's there, it seems a weird coincidence. I think Leighton Orient, when I was there, won the first three games of half years. You know, and we didn't have the hardest pre-season when I was there. You know, I think we went to Vegas one year and it was 40-odd degrees, so we couldn't play any games, you know, and we went out a few times. Only drinking water, of course, but...
Yeah, we believe you.
Yeah, you know, that was after we got back in. So, you know, we won the first three games and both years, that was the year we got promoted as well into League One. So it's, you know, maybe they'll win the first three games this year and it gives you a good start then, a good platform to progress forward.
Shane, so we've all had the pleasure of watching you don a Leighton Orient top. For the younger members who probably don't know you so well, describe yourself as a player.
I just wanted to, you know, get people off the feet. You know, I like watching players. I think the best player I ever played against, I mentioned before, you know, I played against Gerrards and these type of players, with David Ginola. And for me, he's head and shoulders above, you know, all the other players which I played against. He was an icon, he was unique, he was brilliant. But to myself, you know, I wanted the ball at all times. I'd try and beat the winger, try and beat the fullback, you know, and I was happy setting up other people, you know. I wanted to entertain. Scored the odd goal, which, you know, killed in the top corner, which I was probably trying to cross the ball at that time. But no, you know, it was my job to... Yeah. I got slower as I got older, I guess, but, you know, I'd knock the ball past, probably an old-fashioned winger who knocked the ball past the fullback, you know, and try to get crosses in.
Final question from us. So the O's have got Macclesfield on Saturday. Yeah. I was looking at your Wikipedia page, and when you play for Port Vale, there was a quote on there, which, again, I'm not going to be able to repeat because we're on live radio. Yeah. I don't know if you remember it, but it was...
I do remember.
do you still stand by that?
Is that the one which you're referring to?
I think that's the one. Would you still stand by that, considering I'm going to Macclesfield on Saturday for the first time, so just... Want to know what
you mentioned my name, I'm sure they'll treat you very nicely. No, I look back at the time, you know, Port Vale was a big club in terms of historically, you know, in terms of Leighton Orient, a much bigger club, you know, and was playing Macclesfield, who was dominated the game and beat us, you know, in every position. And my honest opinion was that a team of that size, it was a disgrace that they was doing to us what we should have been doing to them. And historically and position wise, they shouldn't have been in our league, you know, stand by that wholeheartedly. Maybe should have chosen my words a little bit more than a little bit wisely. But, you know, that was straight after the game. It was a little bit of passion. And, you know, it was a quote which the guy took and he, you know, had a field day with it, which he shouldn't have done. But I stand by it, yeah, wholeheartedly. But, you know, it's nice sometimes for players to show a little bit of honesty and a little bit of pride and passion. And unfortunately, on that day, you know, I was a little bit let down by the Sun and the reporter.
Always good to show your pride and passion there, Shane, especially nowadays when the younger players, they're told what to say by their managers and their agents. Shane, we really appreciate you coming on and giving us some time on the Orient Fan Show here on Lost Ball. Shane Tudor there, talking a little bit about his time as an Orient player. You even got into Macclesfield questions. We will be talking Macclesfield next. But first, we're going to have a little look at life in League Two.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by the E10 Mess podcast, Rob Edwards, Julian Ferns and Adam Sampson. We just were talking to Shane Tudor there, ex-Orient player. Great to hear what he had to say from his Orient days. We've been talking, of course, the great victory this game won, this League 2 season back in the Football League. I nearly lost my words there. Too excited about the victory before we take on Macclesfield this weekend. But Julian mentioned there, just before we come back, that we were in League Two a few seasons back and it was a very different time, a very different situation. And so different, in fact, that Joby, who is now coach and is almost, Julian said, is a legend at Orient. It wasn't like that before, was he? He wasn't so much of a legend. It was a lot worse, wasn't it?
I think everyone's got an opinion of players, and when Joby left us under the old regime, he was not being treated very well. But as a fan, it's another, I'm not going to use the word some people used to say, you know, but sort of talking about money grabbing players just turning up, taking their wages. And that was the perception from a fan, not knowing what was truly going on behind the scenes. But so then you look at, we had Josh at the same time. Josh Wright was in the side, and you look at both of those players. Okay, Josh is a player on Saturday and Joby is a coach. But what Joby's done for us over the last two seasons, the guy is just phenomenal. A phenomenal athlete, one, but more importantly, as a human being. And as I think, I'm going to put my hands up. I was probably one of those ones just arguing in two or three years ago when he was with us, saying what a money-grabbing guy he was. But reality is, he's gone above and beyond since he's been back.
Go on, Adam. I think it's a really interesting situation, actually, because I think there's a phrase in football that's probably a bit overused of you shouldn't ever go back. And there's often times where players are looking to sign for their old club where they've had a bit of success. Obviously, it was the opposite here. And I think it's easy to forget that I was at away games. I seem to remember a game against Walsall where Joby was being screamed at from minute one and pretty abusive things. And you could tell that he just weren't into it. Obviously, things were happening behind the scenes, but his heart weren't in it. And he did have a few good games for us towards the end. I remember a goal against Portsmouth. It was probably goal of the season.
100%.
But when he left, I think you'd be struggling to find any Orient fan who'd want him to stay. And obviously that's come full circle. He's captained us to promotion, which in my mind, automatic legend. He's obviously now a coach. Every player says how much of a great guy he is and how much of a leader he is. And I think Josh Wright, could he do the same? Could he, you know, when he left, I don't think many people were that bothered about it. But actually, he scored on Saturday, but listen to his interviews, you know, maybe he's the guy that we need at the moment to actually bring everyone together. And I think he's got potential to sort of get to that level and leave Orient with a good reputation.
I think it takes a lot of bottle for players to come back who haven't had the best time the first time round to then go back and go again. I think it's easy for legends to come and go and come back, they've got all the respect of the fans, the love of the fans, and then go back, it should be quite easy. I think it takes a real strength of character to then go from what was a bad time, not just for them, but also for the club, and then come back and not reinvent themselves, because obviously they've been professionals for a long time, but prove a lot of people wrong. And that's, I think that's the most credit you can give, particularly with Joby, to go where he's gone now with the club, and for Josh to come back, and obviously the circumstances he's come in is probably unlike any other return to a football club ever, but they've both been just exceptional. I think when you look at the period, the first time, you're playing for a manager who you don't necessarily know what he wants you to do. You're playing for a chairman who may come in and put you on the transfer list the next week. I mean, it's so difficult to put that effort in and to show what you can do when there's actually what you do on the pitch doesn't necessarily impact what happens next week or the week after. So it's a very difficult time. It's very difficult now, looking back, to judge someone on their performances back then. But you look at them now and they've just modelled professionals, and they've come back and just made such a big impact in a short space of time.
Well, it can work both ways, can't it? When it has gone wrong, people want to go and put that wrong right, don't they? You just mentioned there, Adam, he was getting abused from minute one to the last minute of the game. Joby's well within his rights to go, I don't want to go back to Orient. The fans hate me. It ended terribly. The marriage didn't work out. I was abused. Why do I want to go and graft my privates off to make it right for Orient? But sometimes these things happen, and now we've all come together under unforeseen circumstances, and it's sort of, I don't want to say fans are fickle, but now it's almost water under the bridge, and it's a new page. And maybe another word that is used in sport, overused, you said there you should never go back, but he's a legend. But he is really well on his way to that, especially what's being created now, isn't it, Julian?
But he's a legend in football, full stop. You look at his career, and that's the bit we probably, as Orient fans, a couple of years back, that sort of, we didn't really see. You know, we left us, went to Stevenage, and I don't know why he would have gone there. But sorry. For me, I think what Joby has done is really sort of brought the team together. You know, he's demonstrating one thing. Josh Cromer left us in the summer to go to Huddersfield. Great prospect, and is going to have a fantastic career. He was probably up and down very much whilst he played at Orient, but Joby, the last two years, took him under his wing. You can see that him, just that one player, has just changed the way he approaches the game, how he plays, and the attitude, discipline. And that, to me, is just phenomenal. In any leadership role, whatever you do, whether it's football or business, that is really good. But one thing I wanted to rage about Josh, and I don't know about the guys here, his interview on Saturday, post-match interview, manager in waiting, the way he handled the conversation, held himself, and do you know what I was? I don't know about you guys. I thought I was listening to Justin Edinburgh speak at parts of the interview. It was phenomenal, and hats off to him.
I'm just waiting for Darius Henderson and Plasmati to come back and
wrong
the rights.
Get him in.
Yeah.
Is this a new thing we're starting?
Yeah. And Decina, you have Decina back.
Everyone who's done bad at a former club, come back and put it right.
I don't think we have enough places on the bench, to be honest, with all our players.
There's a waste of time. It's a long old season. So we are talking about being back in League Two, but you said it earlier in the show, Adam. It just feels different. You know, you was going, you sort of almost falling out of love with football and Orient a little bit, even though you can never fully fall out of love with your one true love, your football club. But this time it does feel different, doesn't it? I don't know why, but there's a much better vibe and atmosphere, environment around the club, isn't there?
Yeah, I think obviously I've been going for a long, long time, and when you first get involved into Orient, it grabs you very, very quickly, and it becomes a massive part of your life growing up. Your dad taking, your granddad taking him before that. But there was a point, it was very close to just not wanting to go anymore, which is the first time that's ever happened. But now, coming back, come back into the league, completely different atmosphere. It's just complete love affair from as if it was from the first game that I went. And it's just, yeah, not what I was expecting to happen, but it's just grip you all over again.
And I think as an Orient fan, you've got to enjoy it, because I'm 32 years old. So I've probably been going down to the Orient 27, 28 years of them. And I've seen two promotions. I remember one of them. And it's easy to forget, well, three now, sorry, I remember two of them. It's easy to forget that a team like Orient, you don't get to get promoted, and you don't get to celebrate that being in a new league and what the challenges that bring. And I think, obviously, as a fan base, and the tragedy over the summer, you sort of lose sight of that because it doesn't really matter. But now you're getting back into the football, and you do have to enjoy it, because as an Orient fan, you don't see that often. You don't get promotions. You're not a Premier League fan. You don't get top four, you don't get Champions League. So although to most people League Two might not seem like we're at the heights of the Champions League, but to us it is after the last few years.
I think it's the bit for me, the togetherness as the players this time round, that was evidently not there two or so years ago. And I think Joby, our second signing coming in after Moons? So to Joby to come back in, not being, it was a glamour signing, it should have been 2 years or 4 years prior, but this time round, I think a lot of people raised their eyes and thought, okay, it's the end of his career, all the usual stuff, but no, listen, the guy's a legend, but I think the togetherness in that squad, in the club, wanting us all want to go every home and away game as much as we can, I think that is just done by bringing everyone together under the same sort of guise. And we know where we're going. We've got a direction. We know where we want to go. And I think that the mantra of community club, family club, is back. Yeah, and that's so proud. I'm so proud, sorry.
Well, the good feeling's back. There is a good vibe around the club. And next up is Macclesfield. And we're going to be talking to Jonathan Ian Smart about how Macclesfield may fare in Game 2.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins. And I've been joined by the Eat a Mess podcast, Rob Edwards, Julian Ferns and Adam Sampson. We've talked about it. We've got that victory in the first game. We spoke a little earlier to Shane Tudor and he said that Orient can push for the top six. They can push for the playoffs. Well, now we're talking to Macclesfield fan Jonathan Ian Smart and they lost their opening game this weekend 1-0 to Exeter. It was an 88th minute winner. I know they're hurting. But Jonathan, thanks for joining us tonight. How are you feeling ahead of this weekend's game against Leighton Orient?
Yeah, good evening. The 88th minute, yes, it was a disappointing end to a game where we actually played really well. We'd got 9 new players in the starting lineup, so we really didn't know what to expect. And it was a real kick in the teeth because it was a bit of a fluky goal as well to give away. And we'd been the better team throughout most of the game. So it was a big disappointment. But hey-ho, we get up and go again.
I was actually looking at the stats before, and obviously just to echo your points, I think it was actually quite astounding. I think Macclesfield has 17 shots, more passes, more interceptions. Obviously, Exeter, I think, are probably going to do well this season. So I guess going in, your expectations, I guess they played a bit better than you, most Macclesfield fans were hoping for.
Well, I think, to be honest, most Macclesfield fans that I spoke to before the game were expecting us to get beaten heavily. And we didn't really think that Sol Campbell would have put together a decent enough team to be able to compete this season, if I'm honest. And we played really well. If we play like that all season, we'll be certainly mid-table.
Hi, Jonathan. So, obviously, Sol Campbell was very vocal about not being able to get his first manager role. Macclesfield gave him that chance. Yeah. So how has he impacted Macclesfield? What difference has he made? Obviously, taking the team from bottom of the league to safety, but what kind of impact has he had overall?
Well, it was a strange season last season. I mean, obviously, two seasons ago, we were in the same league as Leighton Orient in your first season back down in the Vanarama National League. And surprised everybody and went up. And there was big disagreements between the manager, John Askey, and the owners. And he was always going to leave come what may. John Askey would like to have stayed, but the powers that be at the club decided to appoint Mark Yates. And it was an absolute disaster. Mark Yates left in October and club legend Danny Whittaker took over for 6 weeks. And we'd actually started the turnaround by then. We'd won the previous two games before Sol Campbell came in. But I think Sol did okay. I don't think he did fantastically. I think he did okay under difficult circumstances. But to keep us up, you can't say fairer than that. And I think this season is his real test. But he's had a lot of obstacles in his way. We have a transfer embargo. We can't sign more than 23 players, which should be enough. Let's be honest. But I think we've only got about 19 signed up at the moment. So the squad's a little bit threadbare.
So on that note, actually, I was looking on your official website at the squad and it did strike me that there's not that many players on it. Especially up front. I think there was two forwards, one of them being Ironside. Now, I'm not going to do the obvious joke here, but is he the guy to solve your goal-scoring problems?
Well, I mean, he got a standing ovation when he came off on Saturday. He worked really hard, but in all honesty, he should have scored. He got a chance in the six-yard box, and I would have anticipated that most of our strikers in the last few years would have put it away. I don't want to be critical of the lad, but he was playing in the Conference North last season. And that's really where we are. We can't afford to sign league standard strikers because we don't have the money to pay the wages. We work on a pound in, pound out basis. We don't make a loss. And well, I say we don't make a loss. We actually do make a loss, but we don't. But cash flow wise, the money has to come in for it to be spent. And usually, we've spent quite a bit of this season's money already last season. So, as people is well documented, a number of players still haven't been paid wages from last season. So it's we don't have the money to sign, go out and sign players that other teams can.
So you talked about sort of the player coming from the lower leagues. Don't you think that's the right thing to do, especially in League Two, is to go and we've all seen them when you was there in non-league a couple of years back, and you've seen some great talent that do deserve the opportunity to play in the Football League. And my other question to you is, who's the player we've got to watch out for on Saturday, or boo, as we sit in the stands?
Well, most of the players I've only seen play once because nine of them were making their debuts on Saturday. So of the two that were there last season, we've got Ben Stevens, who plays up front, who's a live wire. He's come from non-league football. He was playing for Stratford Town the season before last. He played last season and was inspirational at times, but also had a bit of a bad injury. So he's somebody you should look out for. Our goalkeeper, Owen Evans, is on loan from Wigan, and he commanded his area fantastically on Saturday and didn't really look under a great deal of pressure at any time. The defence played well and was really unlucky with the goal. So I can't really say much more than that, apart from we have signed Jay Harris from Tranmere on a free transfer, and he did look to shore up our midfield. So we looked fairly solid on Saturday. We just looked a little bit toothless up front.
Jonathan, you mentioned there that the squad's a little bit thin, you've got a transfer embargo, and yet you still managed to get Sol Campbell in as manager. Is that a massive coup for the club?
In all honesty, I think Sol Campbell was desperate to get a chance, and our owner knew somebody who knew somebody, and the two got together, and our owner thought it was a good idea to appoint him. In all honesty, it may well be an inspired signing. I don't think the fan base are totally convinced about Sol Campbell, but after Saturday, I think they certainly the ones that went to St James's Park, Exeter, were a lot more convinced.
So changing tack slightly, I just need a bit of advice. So I made a mistake. My train on Saturday gets into Macclesfield. I've got 21 minutes to make it to the ground. Am I going to make it?
Yeah, you might have to put a bit of a spurt on, but it's only about a mile and a bit from the station. So if you could run, you'd get there in 10 minutes. But walking's maybe near a half an hour.
Thank you.
Jonathan, we finally need a score prediction from you. Unlucky on Saturday, Orient got the victory. What can we expect on Saturday? What score can we think?
Well, I looked at your stats as well, and you didn't have as many shots on goal as we did. I think you had 11 or 10 or 11 on. But
careful, Jonathan. This is the Orient fan show.
Yeah. Well, I think Cheltenham only had two shots on goal. So they clearly, if the BBC stats are correct, Cheltenham only had two attempts. So I think if that's the case, you're going to be difficult to break down. I think we're going to struggle to score. And I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
A 1-1 draw, there you have it. You're sitting on the fence there. You may get splinters, Jonathan, but your son at Macclesfield will pick up their first points of the season. Jonathan, we really appreciate you coming on there. Jonathan Ian Smart there, Macclesfield Town fan. I'm sure we'll get him on later in the season when you play the reverse fixture. All Adam cares about, will he make the game?
I'm stressed out all week.
What 21 minutes.
I don't know Macclesfield that well, so you know.
As I'll pick you up from the station, mate.
Cheers. Right,
yeah. Are you both going to the game?
Yeah.
So is this home and away? You always go to all the games?
Try to. My two boys, really, they're the ones that sort of dictate what we do. So, yeah, definitely this one.
And Salford,
yeah.
It is now time to get a score prediction off the three of you. You did pick up those 3 points. We spoke about last week's score predictions. What did you actually predict for the Cheltenham game?
I was 2-1.
I think I was something stupid like 4-1, but I actually thought a draw, so...
Rob, you wasn't here last week. What did you think going into that game?
I thought a narrow win.
Narrow win. I think I said a narrow win.
It was a draw. I swear, Charlie. I swear it was a draw.
I'd have said 1-0, 68th minute win.
I think we wouldn't have been far off then.
Josh Wright scored.
Obviously, that was written in the start.
Clearly, I've got no friends in Julian. He's going to be on it to me, handing me throughout the season. Let's see if we can do a little bit better this time. What do we think going into this weekend's game?
I think that after what we discussed, I think Macclesfield are struggling to score this season. I think our defence is probably our strongest point. I think the two new guys, Wilkinson and Angle, are going to get one each. 2-0 to the O's.
Oh, I hate to sort of copy, but I definitely agree. 2-0.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, it's all right. You did say 3-0 outside. So, yeah, 2-0. 2-0 Orient. And again, Angle and probably JMD. I'm his sponsor. Yeah, I'm his shirt sponsor, so you'd better score.
Nice
so.
Plug there. Clang. I thought his radio was breaking, Dan. Come on, Rob.
I can't see Macclesfield scoring. I think, yeah, comfortable away win. I like the way Wilkinson and Angle teamed up first game of the season. I think there's definitely one of them will score, and maybe a Joshy Coulson forehead smasher.
Right, well, I don't think this is going to get the reaction in the studio, but I'm going for a Macclesfield win. Because not because I don't want to make friends, because I've got a lot of time for you three. Especially Rob, nice to meet you. Brendan, we'll see you soon, I'm sure. But I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes in the first game of the season, we can get a little bit carried away with ourselves, and almost there's a hangover of sorts, isn't there? Because we go, oh, this is much easier than we thought. This is easy. Yeah, every team, not be a walk in the park, but we beat Cheltenham away to Macclesfield. They lost. They've only got a few players, and we can get this little hangover because Saturday was... I'm wondering how much it took out of the players emotionally after that week. And I think this will tell. And Macclesfield, I think they're better than we're giving credit for. It could be a draw, but just to upset the apple cart, I'm going to say Macclesfield 2-1.
So next week's going to be the Charlie Hawkins show, isn't it? Yeah. Well, with no Orient fans.
Well, no, because if Orient win, I'm not coming in. So you need to get someone else. But what's worse than that, my producer said 3-0 to Macclesfield, but I think he's upset about the Stevenage remarks.
Come on, the Salford.
Even better, you play Stevenage next week, so it's going to get very interesting. He's going to be in the away end that game. He travels home and away. He was at Salford, so there we go. But Orient, let's talk about it a little bit, because before I see you again next week, you do play Plymouth in the League Cup, another competition you're back in now. How are you feeling about being in the League Cup?
It was good until the draw was made. They
nice close trip.
Yeah, they regionalised it. We could have got Ipswich away, QPR, loads of London teams, Fulham, and we end up with Plymouth away, who we played, I think, in the EFL Cup last time. And, bit of a long journey, that one, on Tuesday night.
Yeah, so for me, it's the Cup. It's great, you know, it's the opportunity to play better teams. But, yeah, Plymouth away. Not no disrespect to Plymouth, it'll be a good game. If my boss is listening, I'm going to be sick on Tuesday. So I'll be Plymouth away. No, not for me.
Yeah, a long trip home park. But Plymouth play some good football. But
very good, sir.
I know we're back in League Two. Obviously, four wise on the league this year. But a nice cup run. Would you enjoy that? Is that something you want, or just League Two, League Two only?
So we had a cup run last year in the FA Trophy. So and we didn't turn out. It should have done, but that was enjoyable. Sort of doing something different and taking some of that pressure off. I think any time any club would enjoy a cup run. It's just a bit of fun, isn't it? And you go out. But it's about the league for us. And I think, yeah, we'd love to get promoted. And we've said this last week. And I'd love to do a Lincoln. Oh, I didn't do a Lincoln. Had a year, then they went up. But reality is, I think just to get us in that mid table. Bit of fun, you know, enjoying football, as Adam said before, enjoying football again would be fabulous for all of us, I think.
Because the League Cup, it can help league form, or it can be detrimental to it, can't it?
Yeah, I think a few years ago we had a cup run in the FA Cup, played Arsenal, we won 1-1. And actually improved our league form, but this year I'm not going to be happy unless we win the FA Cup and then Europe next year.
Yeah, that's the only benchmark. Winning. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I think it's nice to be in a cup you don't have to qualify for, which is a nice nice change now, or try and qualify for. I think you want to play games when you're winning, and when you're winning, you want to play games. I think there's never going to be too many games. I think there's a squad there that a few will probably relish a trip to Plymouth. Probably one of few people that would. And I think we owe him one anyway with a ball boy gate a few years ago. So,
well, you do just get £5,000 for participating, so that's nice for the club itself.
We do, yeah.
Not you three. Just for going, making that trip to Plymouth. But I was going to say, because I won't see you then until next Wednesday. The game is Tuesday night, I believe. Quick score prediction against Plymouth. I know we've not seen how you play against Macclesfield, but I've said you're going to lose. So will you bounce back against Plymouth?
1-1 Orient on pens.
Ooh.
0-0. I can't predict the penalties, so I hate penalties. So Orient, Orient going to win on pens.
I'd like us to go through, but I think we probably won't.
Is this what we're going to have every week of the season? You three are going to predict an Orient win, or are we ever going to say?
I am, yeah.
Okay, right. I've got to get used to this. Eternal optimist. I like it. Well, they did pick up their first win against Cheltenham Town. They're playing Macclesfield this week. I might have said Macclesfield are going to get the win, but come on the O's. Let's make it 2 out of 2.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.